This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi once again. Sorry, I was muted for a bit there. Is everyone with us?
Yes, Mullah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. What are we doing today? Last week we discussed from this book again. I think today maybe the last day that I focus on this compilation of a hadith, and we may move to something else next week. But last week we discussed the idea of ease that exists in the Sharia, of ease that exists in Deen. And it sounds like a little bit counterintuitive to us, because oftentimes our exposure to Deen from the time when we're young is like, it's difficult, you have to do this, you have to do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And sometimes it seems stifling, and at other times it feels burdensome. Because of, for many of us, because of, you know, how the deen is presented to us. But when we study deen, when we study the Sharia, and we study the objectives of the Sharia, and we study all of those things, we see the scholars actually saying that Allah, not just the scholars, Allah says it in the Quran actually, that Allah wants ease for us. Allah doesn't want difficulty, that the Sharia is there to bring us ease. The Sharia is not there to bring us difficulty. The Quran is there to bring us ease. The Quran is not there to burden us. مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. We didn't send this Quran to you that you can despair or become miserable or be burdened. Allah says elsewhere in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants ease for you. He doesn't want difficulty for you. And so we looked at that aspect of deen. And the idea that when Allah makes things easy for you via dispensations, then it's actually part of piety to do those things, to appreciate that, and to do the lesser thing, the thing that is less taxing, out of appreciation for the gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you. Which again seems counterintuitive. It usually seems more difficulty, better. But the reality is that you don't get rewarded simply for voluntarily taking upon yourself difficult things. No. If that difficulty doesn't have a greater objective, then you're just being foolish. If you have no say in the difficulty that comes upon you, like you're afflicted by something, then Allah expiates your sins for that difficulty that you undergo, even though you're doing nothing but having patience. So those are important things to understand, to shape our understanding of Islam. Islam is not there to make your life difficult. Quran is not there to make your life difficult. The Sharia is not there to make your life difficult. In fact, they are all there to bring about ease, to bring about comfort, dunya and akhirah, in the short term and in the long term, for the individual and for the society. That's what we must understand and appreciate about the Sharia of ours, of what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to teach us. Right? And the discussion after that in the book has to do with taking medication. And I don't think I really need to focus on that too much. We already discussed the idea of using the means, using whatever means are available to us, whilst placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I get a flu, when I get sick, when I do any of those things, I don't have to not use the means that are available. No, my understanding should be that we were made aware of these means of medication by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah was the one that made this knowledge accessible to us. I'm not trying to go against what Allah wants. Allah caused me sickness by me taking medicine. I'm not going against what Allah wants from us. No. Allah is the one that made us aware of this information. He allowed us to have access to the knowledge that enables medication. All of it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah does want from us is that in addition to using the means, we recognize that Allah is the cause. You can, you know, this is something that I think is very important. You know, even when we teach our children, yeah, you're feeling sick, whatever, I'm going to give you some Panado, whatever the case may be. But, you know, it's Allah that cures you. Even if it's a simple thing. With my little boy, I try to tell him, okay, he knocks himself, he gets sore. First thing he must do is he must lift his hands. Yeah, Shafi. And it's a small little thing. But now he knows his i'timad, his dependence is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Afterwards, we can go put on a plaster, we can do whatever. But we must never forget Allah in the equation. And so I thought to read some ahadith pertaining to that. So number one, we know that taking the means doesn't contradict our idea of tawakkul. No, not at all. Just like taking precautions wasn't against tawakkul, so too as taking medication and things like that, or even precautionary medication like vaccinations, doesn't go against our idea of tawakkul. We know that you can never escape the qadr of Allah. No matter what action you undertake, that action is part of the qadr of Allah. It's part of taqdeer. It's part of destiny. So our understanding is no matter what, you can never run away from destiny. Right? We are not like those munafiqeen who tell the people, the Muslims at the time of the Battle of Uhud, that, you know, had they not gone out, they would not have died, nor would they have been killed. How does the verse go? لو كانوا عندنا ما ماتوا وما قتلوا. They said, you know, if they remained here with us, instead of going out to fight, had they remained here, they wouldn't have died, nor would they have been killed. No. Our understanding is like Allah explains after that. Even if they had stayed at home, if death was prescribed for them, they would have presented themselves at the place of death, at the time of death. Right? Like we have that story of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Somebody was, I think it was Sulaiman alayhi salam, he ordered the wind to take him to some faraway place. And then the angel of death was waiting for him there. And then he said, the angel of death told him, you know, I myself was confused because I was commanded to take your soul at, you know, some faraway place. But I found a moment before that you were elsewhere. And so you thought you were running away from death, but you were actually running to the place that your soul was supposed to be taken at. So that's our understanding. There is no fleeing from the decree of Allah. We don't even attempt to do that. We don't even think to do that. Ours is the mindset of we're simply doing what we're doing because we think that pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the outcomes, we leave that all to Allah. Whether the outcomes are seemingly good or seemingly bad, it doesn't matter. The outcome is what Allah wanted the outcome to be. My responsibility is simply to respond to that in the correct manner, either with gratitude or with patience. If I'm expressing either gratitude or patience, then I'm doing what is pleasing to Allah again. And the outcome of my actions now, that's fine, whatever they are. But when those outcomes or consequences come, then again, the question is not what those consequences are. The question is, how do I respond to them? Will I be patient or will I be grateful? If my response is one of those two, then that in that cycle of actions and responses, I have been successful, alhamdulillah. But that's it. I wanted to mention some ahadith about this idea. That as Muslims, yes, we take physical means. But we also take spiritual means. They're also means. They're also means. But we never ever forget to take these spiritual means. And I wanted to read some of these ahadith. Because, you know, in this discourse, in this, you know, encouragement to take the physical means, the encouragement is not to become solely focused on the material. No. We must remember the main component of us transcends the material. Our qalb, our spiritual heart, all of those elements of us, they transcend the material. Our ruh, it transcends the material. Even our aql. And we must remind ourselves of that. Our objective, our goal in this life is to know Allah and to devote ourselves to Him. Right? So we read some of these ahadith. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لعمه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said to his uncle أكثر الدعاء بالعافية أكثر الدعاء بالعافية أكثر, we know from كثير to do something abundantly. So أكثر الدعاء, make a lot of دعاء, pray profusely. Bil'afia, for afia. What's afia? Afia is ease, afia is comfort, afia is good health. Afia is like the most encompassing word that you can use for, you know, for a good state. So what is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice? His advice was, don't want hardship. Don't bring hardship upon yourself. Make dua, ask Allah abundantly to give you ease and comfort and good health and all of those things. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عن معاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من دعوة أحب إلى الله أن يدعوه بها عبد من أن يقول اللهم إني أسألك المعافاة أو قال العافية في الدنيا والآخرة. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is no prayer that the abd, meaning a slave of Allah, may make that is more beloved to Allah than saying Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah or al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah or Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Oh Allah, grant me safety and ease and comfort in this life and the next. And sometimes we have this idea we must want hardship, we must want difficulty. No. Rasulullah says, most beloved dua that you can make to Allah is, oh Allah, grant me ease in this dunya and akhirah. Grant me comfort in this dunya and akhirah. Grant me safety in this dunya and akhirah. The important thing is, yes, you want that ease. But the lesson here is, who do we seek it from? We don't just seek it in the means. We don't just seek it in doing more work or in taking more means. No, we do it by spiritual means. We direct our request to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This hadith teaches us that call of yours is beloved to Allah. And Allah is the one that gives mu'afat. Another hadith, عن أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه أنه قام على المنبر فقال قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عام الأول على المنبر. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, a narration recalls, once Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he was standing on the minbar, on the pulpit, and he said that once in the first year of the Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood on the minbar, thumma baka. Then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started to cry. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was a soft-hearted man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us soft hearts like his. He started to cry and then he said, and I think he was crying, recalling the fact that the thoughts of the time when he was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فقال, اسأل الله العفو والعافية. He said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people, ask Allah, ask Allah for forgiveness and ask Allah for safety. I don't like to just translate the word afia as safety. Afia means like all of those things, safety, comfort, ease, all of those things. فَإِنَّ أَحَدًا لَمْ يُعْطَ بَعْدَ الْيَقِينِ خَيْرًا مِنَ الْعَافِيَةِ. Because after iman, a person, or after certainty and conviction, there is nothing better that a person can be given than afia. But again, the focus is on what? Where do you seek that afia from? Building fortresses, building, earning, having more wealth? No. The first port of call is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another, so these are all important du'as. What we're learning is make du'a. What du'a are we learning to make? Very simple du'a. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Wa Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Or you can just say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. Oh Allah, I'm asking you for afiyah. And another hadith, another dua taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min zawali ni'matik. Oh Allah, I seek protection in you from your favors upon me ceasing. Wa tahawwuli afiyatik. And from the reversal of your granting me safety and comfort. Wa fuja'ati niqamatik. And from punishment coming from you suddenly. Wa jami'i sakhatik. And I seek protection in you, O Allah, from all of your anger and your displeasure. So these are some du'as that we learn. The importance, that what I wanted to point out in reading this ahadith today is simply the fact that despite our encouragement being all the time to use the means, we must never forget that du'a is first. Allah is first. We take the most direct means first. All results, all effects come from Allah. Yes, there are material means that we can use. That's part of the system of cause and effect that Allah created. But we always take the first and most direct means first. And that direct means is just simply asking Allah, the one who brings about all effects. We should never forget that in our understanding of Islam. It's that easy. That easy. Turn to Allah, ask of Him, make this your habit, make this your way of life, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will respond. Allah never ever turns the asking hand away from Him. Allah never ever turns the asking hand away from Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and make us a people of dua and a people that though we use all the means in this world, we don't live oblivious to that means, we don't expect miracles in every moment, but we always turn to Him first. Always turn to Him first. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us with this end. Wa jazakumullahu khairan wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Adini kamalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I'm going to end there for now, inshallah. We continue next week with
Allah.
I'm going to see if we're going to read some ahadith from the last chapter. Otherwise, I'll send you another compilation of a hadith that you will take lesson from. Bismillah. Assalamu alaikum.